first speaker needs no introduction here. So good to have Ben and Ashley home for furlough and this year. So when we found that out, we asked them to be a part. This is their only day at the conference. Some guy up in Rochester, Minnesota, by the name of Hansen, booked them at the same time. And I had to literally pull rank on Caleb to have Ben here today. Of course, you know, Caleb, anything for you, Pastor, anything for you. So, but anyway, come on, Ben.
All right. Well, it is good to be with you this morning. And I was thinking when Dad was talking about the Hegel family, you know, we do sorrow. But the Bible says we sorrow not as others who have no hope. And when I was growing up, and Brother Vineyard would come and preach our missions conference every year, I don't know if you remember this or not, but he talked about when he was in Laos as a soldier in the Vietnam War, seeing that little baby die. And if you remember that story about and the mother and the others in the village holding that baby and the just the mourning, and that always spoke to my heart, you know. And I've seen that firsthand now in Madagascar. In Madagascar, the funerals are very different than here in the U.S. The visitation is held in the home. So they don't have funeral homes in Madagascar. They also, the funerals happen very quick because, you know, they don't have the technology and the means to be able to wait several days. So normally the word gets out, and it's interesting how they do it there, but they someone dies and there's phone calls, but what they do is they print out these sheets of paper that has the name and a picture, and it has the family you know, of the person who died and what the what church, you know, because even though they're not, everyone's a Christian at that time, right? You know, they're always needed a Christian burial, but where the burial's going to be held, and they just post them up, you know, at the house and then all over the neighborhood, so anyone can know where that is. And it's a very big thing. You're expected to drop everything, if at all possible, and to go. And what you do is you go visit the family, and you walk into these little well, it can be big or little homes, and they have the body there, and they have incense just to help with the smell and whatever. The family, someone stays up with the body at all times, even through the night, someone's awake. Unfortunately, in most homes where they're unsaved, they a lot of alcohol and things like that. But you go in and you stand in front of the family. Then the family is all sitting there, and you stand in front of the family, and you give a speech. And it's a very formal thing. There's a certain introduction, and they respond. Then you say something else, and they respond. Then you talk and try to comfort them, and then you give them. And it's all very, you know, you have to give to the right person in the family, and the person who presents the envelope has to be the youngest, often the youngest girl. It's all a lot of things, but then you give the envelope with some cash to the family. So it's very personal, and so it's not just like, you know, a visitation here. You come in and you you leave and whatever. And there's even in the things you say, it's very what's expected. And so I think people don't realize that the number one tool of any missionary is the language. And so never think that, you know, we're supporting a missionary and they're spending a year or two doing nothing. No, when they're learning the language, you're not seeing probably a lot of fruit at that time. But they are getting their number one tool to get, I mean, I'm not going to talk about all this morning, but, and I can remember the first time I had to go and I was the one speaking, you know, to the family. And it happened to be friends of ours, and his dad was the former minister of justice in Madagascar. His wife was married before him. She was divorced, but she was married to the former president's son. And so they were a very wealthy family, and it wasn't just a simple little thing. Walked in there, and there's all these people in this house. And of course, it's right in your house, so you rearrange your furniture, and then you put people sit outside under tents or whatever. And So I was nervous. I mean, this is my first time, and I went, and I did the whole thing, and all the, and whatever, and I got done, and his brother stood up and just said, you know, we really appreciate seeing a white person be able to come to our home and do this in our language. And I mean, what I'm saying is that it really matters. It's your number one tool. But anyways, you know, a lot of the funeral stuff in the States is taken off the family. That's all done by the family in Madagascar. So they'll have that body there in the home, and then on the morning of the burial, they will wrap that body in cloths. And the number of cloths that you wrap the body in is kind of a status of how much you can afford to buy or how much you respect that person. So the more cloths, and they're very expensive, the more maybe respect for that person. And I was actually there one time when a man, he came to our church. He heard the gospel several times. I don't think he ever got saved. And his wife is saved in our church, and his son is saved in our church. And but I was there in the room when the family wrapped that body. And you can't believe, you know, I mean, wailing and talking to him and all this stuff. And I just, that verse came to mind. We sorrow, but we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And thank the Lord for the hope that we have in Christ. And that's what missions is about, is taking that to people. So this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to, because it's Faith Baptist Church, I'm going to talk a little bit about the last 4 years, what happened, more in depth, and then just give a very short thought for all of us this morning. So, you know, we came back, last time we were in the States was in 2019. We came back for, I'm going to forget everything. There was three reasons. One was the 50th anniversary. Oh, one was the 50th, and one was Cherith's wedding, and one was the birth of Joanna. They all happened kind of at the same time. And so we came back for a few months, then we went back to Madagascar in August of 2019. And that's the year the Niemeyers, I don't see them, but they're probably out somewhere, but that's the year the Niemeyers came and helped us with camp. We could not have done camp without their help. And so after they left, before 2020, the Lord laid on my heart, the theme for the church for that year was Forward by Faith. And that was just the theme he laid on my heart. Well, in December of 2019, Scotty and Darlene Rackley, that had been helping us in the ministry there since 2012, they went to South Africa at Christmas time and stayed there throughout the last 4 years for medical reasons. So I was left very abruptly with everything on me. And so being one of the most, the biggest responsibilities was the Bible Institute. And I had had help from Brother Gellis and Brother Castle and Brother Scotty and another missionary there. So that was, for the last 4 years, it was, I taught every course. And so that was a little bit of a change. And then little did we know what was going to happen in 2020, right? And so Forward by Faith. But, you know, in some ways, I was really hoping to have a better term. I was looking forward to 4 years straight because we had to come back in 2015, 17, and 19 for pregnancies or whatever, for shorter furloughs. So I was looking forward to 4 years to kind of really just stay. And then the first 2 years, it was hard to do anything as far as growth or expansion. It was you just tried to survive in the first 2 years with your church, and then the last couple of years was eaten up in the building project, and I just couldn't do everything that I wanted to do. It basically was building project, church, and institute, and that was about it. And even the institute we had to suspend for a while. So, but looking back at it, before I had a 4 year plan for that term, what I wanted to see the Lord do, and that was shot to pieces. You know, right? It was shot to pieces. But it's amazing to see how in his time and in his way, the Lord really brought that thing to fruition. And this kind of showed me, you know, you can have a plan and you can pray. We should pray. But, you know, I'm going to do it in my time and I'm going to take care of it. So 2021, we had the theme, and I wrote this down because I don't want to forget some of this stuff. And we had the theme, With All My Heart. We really wanted to see some growth and some spiritual growth, and that was the year we chartered as a church, and that was fun. And over 60 adults chartered that Sunday morning, and that was a blessing. And I just want to talk a little bit about that offering, because you guys gave to help with the land and the building. So we had been saving money for the 10 years we were renting. Anything extra, the church was just putting back and just putting back and putting back. And I was paying the rent or helping with the rent, and it decreased little by little. But because I wanted the church to be able, when the time came to buy land, I wanted the church to be able to say, we contributed to that purchase. And so in a sense, it was, you know, it was kind of a, you know, either make them pay rent and then, you know, just, I know I was helping with the rent, but I wanted them to be able to put back as much money as possible for that purchase. So, and then the Lord laid on my heart to push our church to raise over $10,000 ourselves in just giving. And the goal was $50 million RERE, which is about $12,500, I think. And I really pushed the church. I really feel like we can do this and should do this. And this was in 2021, in the early part of it. And so we did the whole, you know, I forget, Ashley, I think she put a church or whatever on the wall, and we had this, I think we had like a road to the church. We could put, you know, we colored it, we put red when we had the milestones for 5 million RER and 10 and whatever and all this stuff. And people were giving special offerings, but I think we were still below 10 for sure. We were creeping up there little by little. And so the Lord put it on my heart. The Malagasy Independence Day is June 26th, and it's always a big thing in Madagascar. And so because they're in our area, because they're Indonesian descent, they have these Chinese lanterns. And it's my favorite holiday in Madagascar, as far as maybe except for Christmas. It's my favorite time. And the kids, they get these big, you can get colorful Chinese lanterns, and you get a candle in there. And when it gets dark the night before the 26th, the kids go out in the neighborhoods and they just carry these lanterns, and they have, you know, all these, you know, glow lights and whatever, and there's fireworks. And I always buy fireworks to shoot off for the June 26th and July 4th. So we do both. And I put up the Malagasy flag June 1st. I put the Malagasy flag up on our property, you know, and people see that kind of stuff. They comment on that. You know, I put the little flag in my car, you know. And it means something to them. So we make a big deal. And our kids, you know, we carry the lanterns out. And sometimes, you know, when you got little kids, it catches on fire, or, you know, because they don't watch what they're doing. And there's food, you know, street food and whatever. So anyway, so we came up with the idea to pass out Chinese lanterns. We you know, put them to where you couldn't take them apart. And to pass out Chinese lanterns about a month or two in advance. And people try to just fill those things with money and then bring them in on the day we chartered the church on the 27th, which was the day after, and the Independence Day. And so we just asked people to give. And I didn't know how it was going to go. I had no idea. And so I know the Lord was working on my heart to give. And to give and give and give, and we were trying to fill it. I mean, we did everything we could. I mean, we got creative. I mean, we, you know, filling our lantern. And then I said, you know, hey, we need some, you know, we don't just need, because they're very light. I mean, we need some things, you know, checks, or we need, you know, some money outside. We need some good size, you know, almost like Pack the Pig, but, you know. So if you remember that one. And so the week before, I started to think, man, this thing could really be special. When a guy in my church came up to me and he said, hey, can we write a check? And, you know, I'm thinking, and I said, yes, that we would be happy to do that, and you can do that. And so I, you know, that's probably a bigger gift. And then that Saturday I was supposed to meet with the guy that's our treasurer that does the church finances on Saturday to go over some things. And he was driving a Range Rover, is that right? A Land Rover, a Range Rover, something. And I don't know how he got it. I don't know what happened. He works for the Central Bank. And And anyways, it wasn't a new one, but anyway, it was a nice car. And I said, hey, you know, because he was late. And in Madagascar, that's expected. But for this guy, it was like, he's normally very, very on time, very much on time. So I called and said, hey, you coming? He said, yeah. He said, but I'm a little bit late because I'm trying to catch a bus and whatever. And he got to the church, and he didn't have his car. And I said, so is your car? He said, no. He said, I sold it. And I said, okay. And so I gave him a ride home, and he said, you know, I said, it's just amazing. He said, we've been trying to sell this car for a long time. I think he got it. He had a car wreck. He almost died. And that's just something else. I had a bad wreck on 57 coming home from college. And every time I drive a 57, not a bad wreck, but it could have been. I mean, I fell asleep with the wheel. And the car spun around all through the interstate, and I go through there, and I think about, you know, your life is in God's hands, and this guy he almost died, but God spared him, and I think he got this car out of that. What I forget, but anyways, and he said, you know, we've been trying to sell this car for a long time, and he said, but this week, the car sold, and we were really asking the Lord to help us sell this car so we could give more. And so I started thinking, you know, this could be a special day. And man, that Sunday came, and I saw a stack of money. This, because our money is, you know, it's $4,000 for $1. But I saw a stack, and in that big basket, someone gave $2,500. I don't know who it was. I saw a check in there for 5 million RARI. And that's like $1,000. And I think probably a lot of us, if we really wanted to, could write a check for $1,000, you know, to give to a special thing for the Lord if we wanted to. But I'm going to say for those people that gave that, that might be the equivalent of like almost emptying out your retirement type thing, you know. I mean, what I'm saying is the sacrifice, not the amount. You know, and man, they gave, and we were counting the money. And we gave over 50 million RARI just on that special offering. And they gave, in our church there, through three offerings over the last 3 years, we gave over $25,000. Just in special offerings. And we're not a wealthy country. And people look at that and they say, because a lot of churches there don't give like that. And I say, I don't know. I don't harp on giving. I preach it. I teach it. I mean, we do it. But I mean, for some reason, God is just giving us people like this church that just are excited to give to God's work. And so that was exciting. And then in 2022, I told the church, I said, we had chartered, we had, you know, had the special offering, we were saving, and I told the church, I said, I'm going to stop paying the rent at the beginning of 2022, and it's going to be all on you guys. You know, I'm going to stop helping. And our rent had gone way high. So we were looking for a place because our rent had just kept on going higher and higher. And so the theme for that year was let us rise up and build. And again, when we picked that theme in 2021, we didn't know what was going to happen, you know. And in January of that year, a guy in my church showed me a property, and I said, nah, I don't like it. It's too this, too small, too whatever, you know. He said, you really need to think about this, Pastor. And I said, okay, well, then later on he came back. And we showed some guys in the church. It was still there, which is a miracle, because other people wanted it. And what's funny about this property, it used to be a factory that made lighters. And I remember the day that factory blew up and burned up, because I was in town that day. There's a huge, you know, cloud of smoke and whatever. And I heard, oh, it's that factory that makes lighters. So so hopefully no one has a factory like that near your house. But you know, but anyways, so, and I just sat there, the property, you know, the building, it was just all rubble, you know, from that building being blown up and whatever. So we forward by faith. We put on a deposit of initial deposit of I forget what they call that, but there's that you have some time, you know. Anyways, we put down $10,000 on that property, and that was faith because we didn't have the money to buy the property. And so I put out, you know, completely. So I put out, you know, in our prayer letter, and you know, God sent the exact amount we needed. I mean, I'm not joking. Like within like several hundred dollars, exact. And the same thing for the building. The Lord just sent the exact amount in. And so we were excited. We moved. And then we were in a tent. You'll see that tonight in the presentation. And then, you know, that was exciting. And then in 2000, this year, the Lord laid on my heart the theme for enlarge the place of thy tents. And in this year, we've seen lots of different ministries. We've seen some new Bible studies start. Kids clubs. We never had a lot of kids in our church. I think it was because we were on the main road, kind of like just people passing by. It wasn't like a neighborhood around it or whatever. And so, but this year we had a lot more kids start coming to the church. And we started two kids clubs this year, a youth club. And then we ordained four men. You'll see that tonight. We have a couple of church plants as well. So anyways, it's amazing. Well, I just want to say, over the last 4 years, I mean, it didn't go according to plan, but God really just moved, and God just really did things in spite of what was happening, in spite of us, and all of it was just God showing himself strong and saying, I'm doing this, not you. And really, and you sit back and say, I don't know how it happened, but God just did it. And so that, I normally wouldn't probably do that. Every church, just talk maybe more in detail about the different things that happened over the last 4 years. But anyways, in that time, we had some wonderful things happen with teen camps and whatever. So I only have a few minutes left, but that's okay, because I knew I was going to talk a little bit about this the last 4 years. I want to give you one thought out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning. And I was on the plane back from New Orleans on Friday morning. I had gotten up at 4 o'clock to get to the airport and catch the flight. And it wasn't that there wasn't anything to speak on, but I just didn't really feel like I had anything for our church, for our conference, and just asking the Lord to help me. And this thought came to mind, and so I just want to give you one very, very simple thing in just a couple minutes this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read the whole first chapter. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. That's an amazing statement. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know, Paul's second missionary journey probably was his most fruitful, although it's hard to determine this because, you know, we never know the eternal fruit from our labors. We look at tangible results, we look at date, this end, beginning, ending. You know, and the bottom line is we just never know what God is going to do through a tract we give out. You know, Tim Zuck is a missionary in Brazil today because somebody just walked by his car and put a tract under his windshield wiper. And he threw it in the back of his car, and 2 years later was cleaning his car out. You know, I don't know how long later, but he saw it, read it, got saved. And so you just never know what happens. But, you know, it's also, you think about, humanly speaking, if Paul hadn't gone to prison, he probably wouldn't have written the prison epistles in 2 Timothy, but those have a lasting and eternal effect on us. So, but as far as his missionary journeys, probably his second one was the most fruitful. It was an amazing journey. You know, think about it. On his first stop, he got Timothy, and that was a key person for him. Then he went into Galatia, and we know that there were churches in Galatia. We don't know if he started them. Probably the Apostle Paul did, or he at least was influential there. Then to Troas, again, I don't think we have proof that he started the church there, but there was a church there eventually. And then, you know, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, and Ephesus, and that's some pretty good fruit from that journey. And I, in my opinion, this church, an epistle maybe, is overlooked. You know, Philippi, you had the jailer, and you had this and that, and, you know, Ephesus gets maybe some more time, but you know, Paul really wasn't in Thessalonica very long. But this is the only church that I can find that Paul called a model church, where he said, "You were in samples." He said that in verse number 7, so that ye were in samples. So he called this church a model church. And he commended them and other churches for many various qualities, but he called this church a model church because of their Christian growth, ministry, and outreach. And specifically, when he talked about them being a model church, he talked specifically about them being witnesses for Christ and preaching and sharing and giving the gospel. That was why he called them a model church. And you know, it's probably difficult for churches to excel in all of those areas, Christian growth, Christian ministry, and outreach. And when it comes to specifically this topic of sounding out in verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." There's three parts to that I think of when it comes to that sounding out. And I just want to say that I love this church. We came here in 1990. I've been a part of Faith at this church since 1990, when I was 7 years old. And I believe this is a model church. A perfect church? Nope. But I believe that we're a model church and an encouragement to other churches in this area of sounding out. First of all, sounding out involves speaking out. That word sounding out carries like an echoing out from a point of origin. And you know, as far as I can tell, we started, I don't know, I should know the story better because I was here for the 50th, but that was 4 years ago. But we started out in a small building or basement or somewhere in Kankakee. And as near as I can tell from the very beginning, this church has sounded out, has spoken out in this area, the gospel with those around us. And we have, and it started from the pulpit. You know, how many of you were saved at a service at Faith Baptist Church? Anyone who's saved at a service here? Okay, that's, yeah. Sounding out, speaking out starts from the pulpit, right? But then it doesn't stop there, does it? Think of all the different ministries we have. We have soul winning, bus routes, radio, I think we had at a time, a radio ministry, Bible handout, and other ministries that maybe I'm forgetting. That what are those? That is speaking out. The gospel, speaking and sharing the gospel with others in a verbal witness or invitation. And this church, they didn't have TV, they didn't have internet, they didn't have radio, they didn't have, you know, they had nothing. They didn't have vehicles, they didn't have a modern postal service, no telephones. So when he talked about sounding out the gospel, what was that? It was a verbal witness. It was verbal invitation. It was a verbal witness at work. It was a knocking on someone's door. It was speaking to someone about Christ, and that is still the emphasis and a strong ministry of this church. And you know what that does? That increases our number, doesn't it? It builds our church. It grows our church. I was talking to Dad that, you know, we have a lot of different things we've done in Madagascar to share the gospel, but most of the people in our church are there because of either a verbal invitation, someone gave them a gospel tract, or put it on their door, or knocked on their door and won them to Christ. Most people in our church, that's how they got there. That's the vast majority. So that's what we see, and that started with Paul. He got there. We won't look at it this morning, but he got there in Thessalonica, and he opened and expounded the scriptures. And what did he do? He alleged that Jesus Christ was Lord, that he died and rose again. And, you know, I was talking to Brother Schrock yesterday, and I had a great time with him. He talked about emphasizing the finished work of Christ to religious people. You know, Paul's message, it directly contradicted religion and the resurrected Christ to the Greeks. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So his message was not trying to come in and be like them or, you know, try to get, he came in and just basically just said, you're wrong. And in love, you know, religious Jews, you're wrong. Jesus is Christ. Greeks, you're wrong. You know, and he just told them, and we got to be careful of being scared about offending, again, in love, but trying to conform and make church where people are comfortable. That's not what's going to build the church. It's going to take telling someone, this is the problem, and this is the solution. That solution is Christ. So that's what it starts. But then we see sending out. You know, like an echo continues, doesn't it? You know, we used to go to Cedar River, and now Kite River. Brother Dave, you'd take us to the amphitheater up there, and he would, you know, praise the Lord! You know, echo out over the woods. Remember that? But that's what happened. And you know, I thought, you know, it starts from here in this, but then we have been sending out. You know, and that what is that? Well, see, Thessalonica was a port city that gave them a means to send out. They were also on that major Roman highway, the Ignatian Way. So evidently, as people came through the city, they would witness to them, and then those people would go out, and those people scattered all over the empire. And then I would assume that they sent some out from their church as well. And so what is that? Well, how about this? From this church, you know, think about the college graduates. They are from this church. They're not here right now. Okay, they grew up here, but they're all over this country and the world. See, we don't see them here, but that's sending out. And sometimes it gets discouraging because, you know, you send out, and that decreases your number, you know. But what is that? That's multiplying now. And not just that, but reseeding Illinois. The churches that have been started that we are sending out. People that sat in these pews, but now they're somewhere else, and they're sending out. And then, you know, think about the staff, Brother Caleb, Brother Jason, and others that are now pastoring churches. What is that? That's sending out to other areas. Even people like Mrs. Esposito, and then missionaries and evangelists out of FBC. You know, I think the Harrisons were the first family, if I'm not wrong, out of this church. Is that right? Keith Harrison, the first? I don't know. That's the one I remember whenever I came. But then I remember the night we sent the Oswortys out. And I don't know when everyone went out, but, you know, and there was the Harrisons, the Oswortys, the Lowes. And now, currently, we have ourselves, of course, then the Putnams, the Hansons, the Schrocks, the Reardons, the McClures, the Schrodes, and then the Nettervilles and the Gellis family. What is that? That's a voice from that Faith Baptist Church in Illinois. Every time Brother Brent goes to the Philippines and sees people saved, what is that? That's our voice. Every time, you know, Brother Netterville goes out all over this country and starts Bible handout ministries and churches, what is that? That's our voice. That's not just a voice. That's our voice. That's someone from this church. That's a blessing. And I just want to say it is a blessing, you know, all over this world to have a voice in these places. And I was thinking, you know, with Brother Schrock yesterday, Brother Schrock, I don't know how you learn Russian, and they offered Russian at college. I didn't take that. I was too scared. But I don't know how men like him and others have done it over there. A lot of good men. But I'm thankful for that for 28 years. You've been our voice in Belarus. Not just a voice, but our voice. Speaking to people there that I could never speak to. And being faithful there for Christ. And that is, to me, that's a blessing. But then sounding out, I mean, speaking out, sending out, and then lastly, spreading out. He said, but also in every place, your faith, the God word, is spread abroad. So that's just, and then, you know, that word sounded out, it's like an echo, but it's also like a roaring ocean. And I just think, you know, that's what this conference is about, isn't it? Now it's not just about our voice here, our voice somewhere else, but a voice for us. And because of this conference, because of Faith Promise Missions, we get a chance to have a voice, and in a small way, our voice in Nepal, you know, other places, because of our faith promise giving. And we will never know until we get to heaven just what happened because of this church being faithful to sound out the gospel. I mean, that does not sound timid to me, does it? That sounds, you know, that sounds, I don't know what, I can't think of the word, but that sounds bold. It sounds like, you know, preaching and witnessing and not some church that hides, you know, and I'm thankful for that. I go to a lot of churches, and some churches are really good on missions, and they're really struggling in their own church. Maybe they don't have a lot of going on in their own church. Other churches are really good, you know, in their own area and America, but they're not really missions-minded. But when I look at Faith Baptist, I see a voice that sounds out here, speaks out here, that sends out, and that spreads out by supporting other missionaries. And I'm glad for the people that were here on Tuesday night and Saturday morning that went out this week. And I'm glad for every one of the missionaries we support that, or every one of our voices that had something going on this past week in areas where we weren't. And so I hope that was a blessing to you this morning. We're done early again, 10:28. So that's it. I'll turn it over.
And I was sitting there listening to that, and I was thinking it's pretty obvious Ben loves Faith Baptist Church. And I just want to say to all of you that have been here for several years especially, that's true about all six of our kids. And that means that they were not abused and treated poorly by the membership of this church. If they had their will, they would all six belong here. But unfortunately, that's not how it works in some cases. But thank you. And it was a blessing to see the Lord do what he did the last 4 years over there. You'll see that tonight. Now, he won't go into great explanation like he did this morning, but you'll see the video. It's only about 5 minutes long. You may say a couple things about it. And you folks that gave liberally, going liberal, we were able to give a sizable gift for the ministry over there. So that was a blessing. Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. Let's stand together.